Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word today, the third Sunday of Easter, is our first lesson, Book of Acts, chapter 9, beginning at the first verse. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, Book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, it says, "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever." Words of thanksgiving to God, words of praise to God for his works of salvation throughout history, but especially the gift of his Son Jesus, by whose shed blood we are washed clean and given a place together with the Lord. All praise to God. Of course, turning away from that, there's a lot of things that you can get angry about nowadays. There are people on the left who are angry at the ins and the uns, inequality, intolerance, unfairness, and they're angry because they say such things will be the end of our nation. There are people on the right who are angry at people not pulling their weight and undercutting morality and not respecting right and wrong, and they say, such will be the end of our nation. In today's lesson, we meet an angry man. And as is so often the case with a person who is angry, his is a single-minded rage. St. Paul, or at the time he's known as Saul is a very dull boy. Very dull boy. He has a hobby horse that he rides on and rocks it back and forth and back and forth. He has a saw that he saws away at over and over and again, back and forth and back and forth. Saul is a one-topic person. And what is he angry about? He is angry about Jesus. He is angry about Christianity. And years later, he would write about his anger. He said, "You have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God, and I tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age, and I was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers." And so you have today's lesson, where we're told that he was breathing out threats and murder toward the disciples of the Lord. Threats and murder, his hobby horse that he rides back and forth. And here St. Paul, although at that time not yet a saint, here St. Paul was a man who was unlike many of his contemporaries, the young people of his own age, because they wanted simple things. They wanted to go to synagogue. They wanted to have a nice family. They wanted to sit under their vine and under their fig tree like the Bible talks about in the Old Testament. They wanted to be surrounded by children and grandchildren, and St. Paul would have none of it. Didn't want anything to do with it because he could see the writing on the wall, and it made him afraid. And when you get afraid, you get doubly angry, because he realized that Jesus meant the end of his religion. Actually, Jesus means the end of every human religion. The religion that occurs naturally in the human heart. And what is that religion? The natural religion of mankind is, if you're going to be straight with whatever's out there and whatever you want to call it, if you're going to be straight with whatever's out there, you got to get straight. You got to get in line with it. You got to get in tune with it. You got to get in sync with it. And so here's what you do. And now you can fill in the blanks, whatever you want. At that point, you can say, here's what you do. You be righteous. You be obedient, you be faithful, you be kind, you be generous, you give to the poor, you say your prayers, you go to church, you evangelize, you follow the steps, you observe the rituals, you respect the planet, you meditate, fill in the blanks, whatever you want, but here's what you do. And that is the native religion of the human heart. And to all of that, the good Lord says, do you want to be straight with me? Do you want to be straight with me? Well then, here's what I did. Here is what I did. Open the pages of my Bible and look at my life. Read the Gospels. Look at my life perfectly lived in place of your life, which is far from perfect. And then open the pages of the Bible and look at the cross and see that there I was substituted for you. I took your place. I was punished in your place for your sin. And then come to Holy Communion and take and eat, take and drink. That's what I say. This is my body. This is my blood given and shed for the remission of all of your sins. Look at what I did. And I tell you to look at what I did, says, is what the good Lord says. Look at what I did because, honestly, I've already seen what you do. See, you had a chance. Way back in the Garden of Eden, I gave you the ball. And I said, here's the play, here's what you do. And you got the ball, and what'd you do? You ran down the field in the wrong direction. The human race fell into sin. And it hasn't gotten any better since then. Book of Jeremiah. The human heart is still deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Book of Romans, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The good Lord says, I'm looking at you and I've seen what you do. You know what? Why don't you just sit down? Why don't you just sit down and take a look at what I did? What did I do? What did God do? You know the words. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And just to bring the point home, to drive the point home, I'm going to do the opposite of what you do. The opposite of what you do when you go grocery shopping, when you go over to Safeway and you say, you know what, I think I want to pick up some apples. And you go over to the bin and what do? You look them over. And you carefully pick out the firmest ones, the biggest ones, the shiniest ones, the freshest ones, and those are the ones that you choose for yourself. But the good Lord says, you know what? I'm going to do this just the opposite. I'm not going to look at those apples on top. I'm going to push them aside. I'm going to go all the way to the bottom, and I'm going to find the worst, the mushiest, the rottenest apple of the bunch. I am going to find the most misguided, misdirected, misled, misinformed man that I can find. I'm going to take this man of anger and resentment and rage who is legalistic and vengeful to a fault. I'm going to take this dull boy that nobody's interested in being around. And that's the one I'm going to save. That's the one I'm going to save. And I'm going to do it to prove a point for you and everybody else. Then that is, Book of Ephesians, by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, none of it's from yourself, not salvation or faith. It's a gift of God. It's not by works, you don't climb a ladder to God. It's not by works so that no one can boast. And on the road to Damascus, where St. Paul was struck down, we read about it this morning, the point was not lost on him. Because he came to this conclusion by the grace of God and by the working of the Holy Spirit in his heart. 1 Timothy chapter 1, he said, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. You want to write something down? Write this one down. You want to memorize a Bible verse? Memorize a Bible verse. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And so notice, the man who was the poster child for rage against God becomes the poster child for how the Lord deals with sinners. That the Lord, 2 Peter chapter 3, does not desire that any perish, but that all reach everlasting life. And that is a good Lord's goal. That's his work. Now, of course, the devil will always be at work in this situation. He will try to undo that, just like he did at the beginning and deceived our first parents. And he will also try to do the same thing, and you know about the temptations of Satan if you're a Christian of any experience. But if you're a Christian of any experience, you also know that the devil is good at tempting you to sin, but then once you have sinned, reminding you how much you have sinned. He's very religious. He likes to remind us of our sin and work in our heart over and over again. Look what you did. Look what you did. Look what you said. Look what you thought. It's very effective. He tries to turn us into Judas so that we despair of God's grace and think that there's no pardon for us. What do you say? I would suggest to you, you know what you say is this. Satan, you're tempting me that I'm a sinner. Well, you know what? You're right. You are absolutely right, Psalm 51, I have sinned against the Lord and the Lord only, and I have done what is evil in his sight, so that he has proved right when he speaks and justified when he judges. You're right, just like we said at the beginning of service, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. Except, Satan, you forgot something. You forgot, as always, you forgot that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. You're right. I didn't do the right thing. I did not do the right thing, but God did the right thing. I did not live righteously, but Jesus lived righteously for me. I should have died the death of sin, but Jesus died the death of sin for me. Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom, yes, I'm the worst. And so, today's lesson. Ananias responded, Lord, I have heard from many people concerning this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And the Lord said to him, go. Go. And then beyond today's lesson, Ananias went out, and he came into the house where Saul was, and placing his hands upon him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord has sent me, the Lord Jesus, who was seen by you on the road when you came here, so that you might see again and receive the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from Saul's eyes something like flakes, and he both saw again, and he was baptized. Brother Saul. This man's a brother? This man who has no works that please God, no obedience that pleases God, who has no free will that suddenly woke up and decided to accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and personal Savior, he's got none of that. What he has is the grace of God alone that reached down from heaven and touched him. And there was no other power in heaven or on earth that did that. Only the grace of God in Jesus. And so, I was shown mercy. I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him. That's you and me. As an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. And when the Lord does such a thing, when he shows such undeserved mercy, what do you say? What do you say in response to it? What did your parents teach you when you were little? You say, thank you. And to the Lord, you say, praise you. Or to the Lord, you simply say, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.